Hi, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. I guess you probably knew that. Hey, welcome to our show, Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's April 21st, 2022. It's still cold here in Maine. I'm hoping it gets warm in time for May, okay? We're waiting for it. But the buds are on the trees, and we're pretty happy right now. So life is good here in Maine, and I hope life is good wherever you are, too. We got a nice show for you today, and it's a really interesting show. We're going to talk to Laura Taylor and Lori Vanderborn, and they work at the Region 5 Comprehensive Center of the U.S. Department of Education. And Region 5 covers Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and West Virginia. They're going to explain this a little more. At the state level, working to network the state and the education forces therein. Okay, they're going to explain this better. And what they call a networked improvement community. There are 19 comprehensive centers from the U.S. Department of Education working every day around the country. And maybe I'm the only one, but I didn't know a lot about this. I never heard of them until a few weeks ago when I first did a show with them, and they were brought to my attention by my good friend, a wonderful consultant in the industry named John White, who's working with them. Okay, and so I learned a lot in show number one, which we did about 3 weeks ago. And now that was actually March 26th, I just noticed a note here. And then we're going to continue our conversation about what comprehensive centers do for you, okay, for the state you work in, okay, and how Region 5 has put together this networked improvement community, what they call an NIC. Well, obviously, there has to be an acronym if the government is involved, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org, okay? That is our home website for American Consortium for Equity in Education, and from every podcast we've done is over there. Plus, okay, you can go over to seltoday.org, all about social-emotional learning. You can see what we're doing and just really starting to do in teacher retention, which is a serious challenge out there. There's a big educator shortage. We don't want to lose any more great teachers, folks like you. So we're just trying to get our act together over there and get as much information as we can out to you and superintendents and everyone else. And our magazine, Equity and Access, the online journal, all right, is at ace-ed.org. We're putting together a new issue right now. If you haven't seen the current issue, it's all about social-emotional learning and equity. You can go over and check it out. Everything's at ace-ed.org. And you can hear the stuffiness in my voice. It's an allergy. It's picking up right now as spring hits, so bear with me. I'm sorry, and it was yesterday as well. Hold on. As I clear my throat, it's unbelievable. Okay, good morning, the Laura and Lori team. This is Larry Jacobs here. So you got Laura and Larry and Lori. We'll start with Laura. Hi, Laura. I'm Larry. How's Lori?
Hi, Larry. This is Laura Taylor. Yeah, it's great to meet you. And I hear you about the allergies. I'm based in Arlington, Virginia. Everything is budding, and the cars are covered in yellow. So we're in the same boat.
It's driving me nuts. So you can hear it. I don't know if you know my voice, but you can hear it in my voice, the stuffiness. I can hear it at any rate. Okay. And again, Laura's the Deputy Director of the Region 5 Comprehensive Center. And then we have, you must have a name like mine. I'm Larry. That's Laura. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Larry. How are you? Other than the allergies, I know I'm having the same issues.
Yes.
So.
Not driving me nuts. All right. And so, Laura, let me ask you, do you have to have a name like Laura or Lori to work at Region 5? Is that a rule? What's going on?
I think it's a rule. You know, we like to keep it the same letter. So that's why we created this podcast team out here.
And had I been a girl, I would have been a Lori or a Laura. There you go. So what can I tell you?
There you go.
I'm not a girl. I'm a guy. Okay. And this is great. You know, I'm going to ask Laura. Laura, just in a nutshell, we're going to talk about network improvement communities, but I don't think enough people know, and you know, we did the first show, but the whole world doesn't listen to that one. Okay, just tell everybody what a comprehensive center is and does. And again, there's 19 of these things, these entities, from the USDOE. So what do you guys do? Laura, I'm going to ask the deputy director, Laura, to tell us that. Go ahead, Laura.
Sorry.
I'm losing you. I couldn't hear you. Wait, you're breaking up. Laura? No?
Yeah.
Lori, can you hear her? Lori?
I can. She's breaking up a little bit.
Yeah. You know what to do, Laura? Just hang up. Maybe you're on a cell phone and just move to another place. I'm just going to ask Lori the same question. We'll bring you right back on. So hang up and come right back.
Thank you.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, Laura will be right back. Lori, you work there. Tell us what a comprehensive center does.
Well, our comprehensive center, Region 5,
is
funded by the U.S. Department of Education, Office of Elementary and Secondary Education. We serve the clients in the four states that you mentioned, and we're there to help states to identify, implement, and sustain effective evidence-based programs, practices, and interventions that support and improve educator and student outcomes.
That is excellent.
So we Go ahead. Good. We also help staff improve educational outcomes for all students, close achievement gaps, and improve quality of instruction.
Okay. This is very good. And now I'll go back to Lori. Laura, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. What about, can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly right now.
Oh,
okay.
Excellent.
So we just had a definition from Lori,
mm-hmm.
okay, about how you folks serve the clients within your state. And she used the word clients, which is a good word. Who are the clients you serve as a comprehensive center?
Yeah, so our primary charge within the comprehensive center is working through the state education agencies, those departments of ed within the state. And so I'm not sure if Lori touched, but we work across all 50 states and entities.
Yeah,
and
I know that.
Our primary clients are the state superintendents, the chiefs within the state. And so that's our primary point of client contact, but then we can also work within districts. But we have to work through the state to get to the districts and the schools.
And this is, I mean this in all love and sincerity.
Yeah.
How
does
the work you do differ from the work that the people who are already in the Department of Education, we'll just use Virginia since we're going to talk about Virginia.
Yeah.
Okay. So you work with the Virginia State Department of Education. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they have a number of people who work there. How do they use you guys in addition to what they do? And by the way, Lori, okay, is the Virginia State co-lead, okay, for Region 5. But I'm just popping this one to Laura. Okay, just as an example.
Yeah, of course. So we are, in a nutshell, we offer free consulting services. So we're an extra hand to support the initiatives within Virginia, in your example. And so I think one of the strongest assets that we bring is we offer those free consulting services. So if there is an issue within the state, they don't have time or extra hands, we can help support them, work shoulder to shoulder on an initiative collaboratively on this effort. I think we also help make connections. I mean, I think one of our strongest supports is making connections to other technical assistance centers that are funded by the department or other research facilities or think tanks or, you know, just providing those additional supports and being an extra ear on the ground. Things are moving at a mile a minute, as you know,
and
listeners know.
Oh,
and so how do you take in that information and make it into meaningful practice? And I think that's a strong asset that the comprehensive centers bring.
That's cool. That's a good definition. Lori, pinpoint it a little more. And again, I'm just trying to give people a more focused view. Lori, you work particularly with Virginia. Okay, not the woman Virginia, the state of Virginia. Okay, I don't know who Virginia is. So I know what the state is. Okay, so you work with the state of Virginia, and just give us a real example of the kind of work that the State Department asks a comprehensive center, in this case Region 5, to do, just so they get it.
Well, the project that I'm working on is with the Office of School Quality. And what we're doing within that project is moving the culture of that office from an approach of a compliance approach to a growth approach. So working from, you know, checking off a list and making sure that things are being done to really supporting the divisions in order to grow them and help them to improve their practices and support, you know, the school leaders in that improvement process.
Cool. And How do you measure the progress on that? What's going on with that? I'm just curious. This is fascinating stuff to me. What goes on with that?
Well, the progress is ultimately, you know, student outcomes. So but it's also relationships that are building within the relationships between the state and the division, the relationships between us and the division. A lot of our work is really centered around building those relationships and trust in order to help others succeed. And one way that we do that is through that networked improvement community.
Right. And we're going to talk about that in 1 second. And yeah. I just have to ask you a personal thing. You have your licenses for education and all the things you do, and I'm going to go over this, in Ohio. Nice state.
I do.
And you have a superintendent's license, a principal's license, amazing, an elementary principal's license, a special ed license. Like, you're a pretty great lady, okay? Really involved in education, all right? And so you were involved, okay, at the classroom level, at the individual student level, special education, all that sort of stuff. All right, and then you get into working with the comprehensive center. Even as a superintendent, you're now above the fray. Now you're even more above the fray. You can't believe the hand motions I'm making right now. Okay, so as you look, if I have to say it this way, as you look upon, okay, all those entities, I'll say below you in this case, from the 30,000-foot level, okay, do you feel like there's a great impact of the work you do on those individuals that you know so well is what I want to say. Okay? How does that feel to be at the 30,000-foot level rather than on the ground? That's, I guess, what I'm asking.
You know, I have a great deal of respect for the individuals in the classroom. I always say that, you know, I have experience from teaching preschool to high school chemistry, being elementary, middle school principal, and then being a director of a dropout prevention school, you know. So I think they're above me because they're there and they're doing that
work. Oh, that's sweet.
And
nice
I'm serving
say.
Them.
Nice to say.
Yeah, I'm serving them, and I'm able to make that impact through, you know, working with state leaders to help, you know, remove those barriers that come with classroom, you know, practices and leadership pieces within the schools and in the districts.
Wow, that was a beautiful way to say that, okay? And, what can I say? That was just great. Okay, now I want to talk about networked improvement communities. Thank you for yet another acronym in education, Laura. Thank you, and I see. Networked improvement communities, because we're almost running out. Just when I thought we had gotten all of them, we have NIC for networked improvement communities, okay? And Region 5. Okay, I think is a leader in this, okay, if I may. All right, so talk about what a networked improvement community is, okay, and how did it all start in Region 5, which seems to be the brain center, like one of those science fiction movies where the brain lives in one place. It's in Region 5, Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and West Virginia. Okay, well, tell us about what is a networked improvement community?
Sure. Laura. Thanks, Larry. I love the image that you painted, how we're the brain, the epicenter
Thank
of
you.
This work.
Thank you.
And it's absolutely true. And at its core, a networked improvement community, a NIC, is an opportunity for folks to come together to problem solve. And so on a more formal term, it helps to inform improvement initiatives within an organized and structured approach. And it allows practitioners or stakeholders or this group of people to improve practice by learning what works, how it works, and for whom does it work. And so the NIC process can be a really powerful approach with identifying and solving those problems of practice, looking to see introducing new initiatives, making sure they're rolled out concisely and to the audience that was intended, or revising currently existing practices in education. And so that's at a very high overview, and Laurie's going to talk a little bit more about the different steps of implementing a NIC and getting down to more of those structures in place. But in terms of how it started in Region 5, as we all are very well aware, March of 2020 was unlike anything we had ever seen before, and states and districts and families were grappling with this idea of schools closing.
as a mom myself, our preschool was closed for 2 weeks, and I wasn't sure what I was going to do with my children for those 2 weeks. And so states were really grappling with this idea of closure and how do we move forward. Kids need school. We know that. Families need school. And so states are really grappling with this. And what we noticed and what they were grappling with the most, it seemed to be that equitable technology access, effective delivery of online instruction.
Yes.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And then access to those online courses. States and districts just weren't set up to go fully remote overnight.
Right.
And so there was, you know, some people had kind of, you know, dip their toe in the water, but they weren't ready to switch fully. And so there was a lot of unknowns that folks were dealing with, and states had to make quick decisions to get kids back in school. And so understanding these challenges and Region 5's need to really do to support our states in these unprecedented times, we talked to our states, as you mentioned, Kentucky, Virginia, Tennessee, and West Virginia, and talked with folks to identify a common problem that they were having. And that umbrella problem that was defined by our group was how can data and technology be used to improve students' learning experiences? And from there, because that's such a large question, we had to get a little more granular and specific. And so as a group, collectively, we decided the question that we wanted to pose to our group is what is the best way to organize ourselves to accelerate learning and scale instructional improvements across our four states? And from there, the NIC was born. And we worked with our four states, with a group of stakeholders and representatives from our four states to identify, test, and scale effective solutions for delivering high-quality instruction remotely. And so Laurie and our team of subject matter experts led this initiative, met with our states regularly as they were grappling with making big decisions for the states and districts and also having the personal impact of making these decisions to implement this NIC. And so as we engaged in the process, it just took off. Folks loved it. Our states.
Great.
Just did jump 2 feet into this work. And then they also, from Region 5's perspective, we knew it was growing. And we wanted to provide materials and support so anybody can do it, because it shouldn't just be limited to the Region 5 people. And so our team has developed learning modules, resources, blogs, materials, so anybody can jump in and learn what a NIC is and facilitate a NIC and the process. And so I know you'll include our website on the podcast notes, but it's region5compcenter.com. We have a whole page about the NIC resources, and we really encourage folks to jump in and take a look at all this free material. I mean, I think that's another thing that we've talked about, and I know Kimberly and Danielle spoke about on March 26th. This is free services. And so I think that was really impactful there. So I know that was very high level, but it was really grounded in, it was born out of this need that we needed to do something immediately and bring our states together. And states, what we've learned, and I talked about our biggest assets, is allowing states to connect with other states. That's really where the magic happens.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're not in this alone. Yeah,
absolutely. And it's not just some research over here, but how does it look in practice? And learning from each other is so important, and that's what makes the NIC just magical.
I love that that phrase, the NIC, and I love the way you said you were looking at it. I can't remember your exact phrase, but you looked at it from way above, but it was very grounded, and using those two words in the same sentence is really cool. Okay, because it was grounded in local needs, but you had to look at it from above. And one thing I want to ask you, you said you're the Region 5 Comp Center, is it .org or .com? You said .com, but is it .org? I just want to make sure. Region 5 Comp Center
.org.
Thank you. That's what has my piece of paper. .com, and I just wanted to be sure. I'll put it up here on the screen,
Thank you so much.
People can get it. All right, just a correction, Deputy Director, no problem. Okay, all right, no problem at all. And I just want to ask you this: the Network Improvement Community, okay, in the network were the four states that you work with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yes.
That's the network. Because those are the those are the people, and it was the education departments, okay, within those states that were all part and parcel of sharing this amongst each other, right?
Yes.
Just trying to get this. And you know, as I mentioned, there are 18 other comprehensive centers, okay, besides Region 5. Obviously, this is Region 1 through 19, okay? And I'm curious, and did every region start a NIC, or was it just you guys who – started, maybe it's spread like a good pandemic should, but a good pandemic. Okay. Has it spread?
So other regional comprehensive centers have developed communities of practice or peer learning groups. We have not heard of another networked improvement community across the region. But we have been disseminating and sharing all of our information with the CC network, which is kind of the dissemination arm of the comprehensive center program. So we are starting to kind of share all this information out and making sure that, you know, we work within our four states. However, it's not inclusive just to our four states. We want to make sure that our four states are also connecting with like-minded people or people that are dealing with similar issues or have a good solution. And so we're really looking across the network. This NIC stemmed from this need within our state back in March of 2020. And so we have been sharing out the resources that we've created. As we said, these are all free. We want to make sure that we're sharing them out so anybody can use them.
Right. And I'll tell you, I don't know if you ladies have read it. I'll just recommend it to you and everybody else's. Michael Lewis's book, The Premonition. Are you familiar with that at all?
I'm not. I'm not.
Lori? Is that you?
No, Lori? I'm not.
Okay. I advise you both to read it. Okay, please do. Well, yeah, he's a great writer. I really enjoyed it. He wrote The Blind Side and a lot of other great books. Okay, but this one is about pandemic planning and what was in the works long prior to our current COVID pandemic. All right, and the one hopefully that is in the immediate past right now. And it was funny, as they looked at it statistically and from data points, back in 2006, 2001, the first thing they all noticed was you have to close the schools. If you close the schools, you'll almost stop it where it is. But that got stuck in federal government bureaucracy over the years. And by the way, the whole idea started with the George W. Bush administration to really plan for a pandemic. Okay? It's a very interesting book. Okay? And I always find it funny that there was so much controversy about closing the schools that really nobody had ever really planned for it, yet it was all part and parcel of a pandemic plan that had developed in the early 2000s. It's a very interesting book, especially from our education point of view. Okay, so I hope you guys enjoy it. I just wanted to make that point on there. Okay, and by the way,
thanks for the recommendation.
Oh, my pleasure. Enjoy it. And I have nothing to do with Michael Lewis. It is not my pseudonym, by the way. Just enjoy the book. Okay? And by the way, I work a lot with the folks in Kentucky and Tennessee. Okay? I do a lot of work with them. I work with several of the ESAs down there, the Educational Service Agencies. And they had the particular problem, okay, at the beginning of the pandemic, just what you guys were saying was that equity and access challenge because there were so many areas that are deep in the hills, all right, and there just wasn't enough technology to reach the kids in the hollers, okay, and in the valleys, all right, and it created a real, you know, you're not going to have that same problem in Kansas where there aren't a lot of hills, okay, it's a different world. All right, and it's just really interesting the way it all worked out there. So I'm so glad you did that, Lori. Let me swing over to you if I may. Okay, when we put this all together, okay, what was the best example of success? Okay, that we were able to find down there. Maybe you want to talk about one in Virginia.
I would say, well, I work with all four states, so we work together, and as we meet as a regional team every 6 to 8 weeks. Where individual states will share, like, their plans, logic models, implementation plans, the barrier they're, you know, are particularly having, and then they reflect on that. So these meetings open discussions between the states, providing, you know, reflection and suggestions on how to improve approaches based on the experience of the people at the table, which really helps them to come up with solutions that they may not have on their own. And one of those examples with one of our states, we initially worked with the Department of Teaching and Learning around access to internet services, which is what you were just speaking of. In doing so, we invited, because we initiated the team, which is a step in the NIC process, we invited the Department of Technology to the table to be a part of that team. So we initially thought that the students did not have access to technology when working with the Department of Teaching and Learning, but then what we found is that they did have access, but there was a small percentage of them that didn't have access, but the majority of them, like 95% and above, did have access, but they may not have known it. So this the initiating the team part of that particular NIC and looking at that problem of practice broke down that silo between those two departments, so they now know and they now figured out that they need to communicate to the families the access points that they have to internet and the access to technology that they do have at their disposal. So that then, now within that same state, that shifted our work to the quality of digital learning. So what we're currently working on is the quality of the digital learning practices and that return on investment. You know, as a previous school director working with a budget, this project is really exciting for me.
Yeah.
It'll be a way to strategically determine, you know, what resources and supports to continue to fund for sustainability purposes. School districts are signing purchase orders for products and services like crazy right now. But
yes.
What we are trying to figure out is what works, why, and how we're going to make those choices on what to keep funding once this funding may not be available anymore.
Right, and it's absolutely – it's interesting what you just said, that people did have access, if I heard you correctly, but they didn't know it, all right?
Yeah.
And one of the things you discovered was that you have to work more closely with families within communities, okay, to make sure that they
absolutely
do know what services are available to them. That's interesting. I was just did a show yesterday with a good friend of mine, actually from Waterford, waterford.org, Jenny Torres, okay, who just got her doctorate, okay, in family involvement in education, community involvement in education. And that to me is such a key, okay, that we had. It just struck me as so interesting yesterday when we were talking, and it's, you just said the same thing. We have to, it's incumbent upon the schools to make sure that the community members understand exactly what they're doing and what they have access to. And it just reinforces what Jenny said yesterday. I think that's extremely important. Thanks for bringing that up. It's just, and how's the word getting out? Yeah, and how's the word getting out now? How are we doing on that? What they actually change to get the families more involved, if in fact they were able to do so?
Well, we identified the problem, and then they ran with the solution. So they pushed that communication out, and now they have access out there. Speaking of that, you know, community and the resources, another one of our successes was with one of our other states was with the team too. They had a community, you know, involvement program that ran statewide, and they needed some support on determining a theory of action for that measurement infrastructure to see if it was working. So looking at that, these are two states sitting across from each other, you know, in a Zoom call. I want to say at the table, but in a Zoom call.
Yeah.
And they're talking about access issues, and then it comes up, well, here we want to see if our solution is working. So we developed a measurement infrastructure with them for an existing statewide initiative. It helped them to determine what's working, why, and how to support districts in successful implementation of wraparound services, community supports, and schools of various sizes, demographics, and who they're working with various access to community resources, especially like we're working with cities and rural areas, and then very rural areas with limited access to resources.
Yeah.
So coming up with those, coming up with solutions for each of those and measuring what solutions are working so that they can scale it up and share with the whole state and with each other. Because the four states sat around the table and looked at that measurement infrastructure and provided feedback on how they could get better results.
Right, that is excellent. And which brings me to the question, okay, Laura. Okay, the NIC is Region 5. You're Deputy Director of Region 5, but the NIC is Region 5. Okay?
Yes.
So I'm curious. You guys meet with regions 1 through 18 all the time. Okay?
Yes.
You've had success with this. All right? Mm-hmm. And you know the world of bureaucratic departmentalization, if I may. Just, you don't believe me, ask Franz Kafka. Okay? And I'm curious, as you talk to the other 18 of these, are they jumping on this and saying, wow, this works? Hello, this works?
Yeah. So we've had opportunities to share our successes with the other 18 comprehensive centers and the National Comprehensive Center. And I think people are starting to get traction on this. I think people are really interested in wanting to learn more. We have opportunities to engage with our staff. We've got an upcoming Twitter chat next week about the NIC and one of the steps. And so we've been really broadcasting that opportunity for folks to engage in a different platform with us around a NIC to learn a little bit more around the specific step called root cause analysis. And so we're starting to spread the word now that we've got this NIC and the NIC initiative that we've got in Region 5 is really spreading and getting some really good traction. We're seeing those results. We want to spread the word. And so we do meet across our network once a month with the team and have had great opportunities with our program officer and Danielle, who you spoke with a couple weeks ago, to share this good word about the NIC. And it's really exciting that we're here sharing it on a podcast about it. As Lori said, we're seeing some real tactile successes about, you know, how this started and, you know, where it's going. And it's going far and wide. So we look forward to sharing this with more people, and hopefully people check out our resources and engage with us and, you know, help student outcomes, which is really why we're all here, is to support those kids.
Damn right. Okay, and again, everybody, it's Region 5 Comp Center. .org, or you can go region5compcenter.org/NIC. All right, and I'll put those up on the website a little bit later. All right, the pandemic, if I may, is dying down. Please don't take that with a grain of salt. I'm not a medical expert. Okay, but the pandemic is dying down. They just removed the mask mandate on planes. You know, it's just, hopefully everybody's right and it is dying down. We'll just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. Okay. We've learned a lot in the past 2 years, and I think I'll throw this one to Laura. Okay, Laura, what's the next big issue? All right, and the issue over the pandemic was the equity issue, schools closing, online education, you know, all that sort of stuff. We all kind of know that, okay? And I'll tell you why I'm asking. We here at ace-ed.org are very, very concerned about teacher retention, teacher recruitment. Okay, what overall is called the educator shortage. And we even started on a website. Yeah. We're getting more information in called teacher-retention.com. If anybody wants to go over there and look at it. Okay, it's just developing, but it's pretty nice what's up there right now. As you guys look at an overview, okay, both you and Lori, again, from that 30,000-foot level, okay, overlooking four states, okay, an umbrella, a nice umbrella protecting those four states. Let's say it that way, okay? As you look at it, is that the next big issue, or what do you see as the next big issue? Maybe that's a way to put it. Now, I'm going to ask Lori the same thing, what she sees, okay? But what's Lori see? Yeah.
Yeah, so I think you hit the nail on the head here, the educator shortage right now and retaining good teachers. I mean, I think with the pandemic, it really illuminated the fact how important teachers are. We need them in our society to make it go. And, you know, it's been an underappreciated and undervalued position, you know, as
Absolutely.
A former teacher. I feel that. And so I really think that across our four states, that has been an issue. We've talked to folks about it. And, you know, I think educator retention, recruitment, grow your own strategies are really taking charge as a priority within our region and across the nation. I think another issue that has bubbled up because of the pandemic is that social emotional learning with students.
Yes, agreed.
I mean, it's been hard. It's been hard for parents. It's been hard for everyone to deal with the life as it was to life as it was during COVID and how to re-enter and re-engage in a classroom and with people. I think we're missing a lot of those key skills that young children and children of all ages really learned being in a classroom. And so, you know, we're seeing those struggles. And I know Kimberly talked a little bit about the conversation she had with somebody in our region about some of the devastation he was seeing to our students.
Yeah.
And so I think that's another issue we're really grappling with, you know, within our region, across the nation. We've got a lot of, it's a priority for the Department of Education. There's a lot of information and resources being pushed out there on how to support kids, but also how to support teachers supporting those children.
Thank
and
you. And
so,
that's a great point. Yeah, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. You go ahead.
Yeah.
Yep.
No,
sorry.
I just think it's really important. It's, you know, a lot of focus has been on the children, but it's also the people in the classroom supporting those children. It's hard. And so how do we support the teachers, the guidance counselors, the school administrators, the district leaders to support everyone as a team? I mean, collectively, we've all been through trauma. And so how do we support everyone supporting the children?
You got that right. I didn't mean to interrupt you before, but you were no so
problem.
Dead on with this. And, yeah, you know, I honestly believe that the social-emotional aspect, okay, is affecting teacher retention, all right? Because,
oh.
A, the kids are stressed, all right? And that's changing their behavior, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And which is forcing an issue right there. It's frustrating to a teacher who has to manage a classroom in this day and age, all right? And that's forcing, and I just talked to a superintendent, a good friend of mine, I won't say where, I will say in Illinois, okay, who said although his teachers love teaching, there's not one of them who was staying 1 minute beyond retirement date.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If retirement date is 11:17 on June 18th, he knows they're going to walk out of the classroom at 11:18.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm exaggerating, of course, but you get my point.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's all a big circle, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a key problem, and the SEL is incredible, which I have to just say real quick. In Florida the other day, they eliminated textbooks because they had some social-emotional learning, okay,
mm-hmm.
built into it, okay, which is a political move, if I may, and totally
yeah.
absurd, okay? It's absurd, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do not leave it up. I have to ask Lori, what are your thoughts about the big problems? And maybe you agree with everything, but just I want to give you an opportunity. What do you see coming down the pike that you guys have to solve?
Well, yeah, I definitely see, especially being a previous dropout prevention, you know, director and,
right,
and seeing that
right.
firsthand before the pandemic. I think that that we really need to find ways to support the educators on how to support the students and the families, like that starts with communication. So that starts with communication home and being proactive about those things and not waiting for, you know, the fire to occur, but setting up systems to where those relationships are built ahead of time so that when you call home, it's not for, you know, hey, Johnny did something bad. It's hey, you know, he really did well on the test today. And then that sets up that relationship with the parents. So putting those systems in place, but not only just supporting, and I like that Laura brought up educators and not just teachers, because the leadership needs support in those areas as well.
Yeah,
like how do you lead a building, how do you lead a district to build these really robust relationships with students and families to a point where they can come to you before they explode and say, I need help. So opening those lines of trust between the parents or the caregivers, the students, and the teachers and the mental health providers that are on site as well, and providing more of that on site in school districts, I think. So,
well, I certainly hope
those
that'll
are the
help
things
you guys.
I saw work.
Yeah, it's all got to come together, and we have a tagline that says, "Let's not lose any more great educators." Okay. And we gotta plug that hole. Okay, we can't let the Titanic sink. We gotta make it to New York. Yeah.
Yeah, and we keep them by helping support them.
Absolutely.
And making sure
it's all about support. All right. Which is what we gotta leave in a minute, but I'll segue like this. It's what you guys do. You're supporting the educators. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In Region 5, okay, let me say it again, which is Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and West Virginia. That's gonna spread. You are the good pandemic. Make it spread. The support.
Thanks.
There is a good pandemic.
Thanks, Larry.
Make the good
Thank
stuff
you.
Spread. Okay. Region 5
Absolutely.
Is pretty cool. Thank you, Lori and Laura. You guys are terrific.
Thanks,
thank you
Larry.
Both. I loved having
Thank
you here.
Thank you for having us on here.
My pleasure. You guys take care. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye. Wow, great ladies. Okay, we'll archive over at ace-ed.org. You know what we do over there. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.